Do we know who Oprah, the talk show host, is? If we do, we may or may not know what she said about 15 years ago. Here it is. I will say I was one of those people who used to go to church every. I grew up. As I was sharing with the last caller, you know, in the South, and so going to church every Sunday, Sunday school, Baptist Training Union, Wednesday night prayer service, the whole thing, choir, all of it. And when I moved to Baltimore, I was in my 20s. And I remember sitting in a church, you know, one of those big churches where you have to get there at, you know, 6:30 in the morning to line up for the 8 o'clock service. And the minister was preaching about, it was a really good preacher, and he was preaching about how God, the Lord thy God, was a jealous God, and the Lord thy God would condemn us for whatever. And I remember I had a spiritual aha there, and I was in my late 20s. And I suddenly thought, how can this God, who is all-loving and all-powerful, why would God be jealous of me? Now, that messed Oprah up. And there are some people, that may not be all that got her, but anyway, that was apparently one thing that was troubling to her. Other people have really been troubled or disturbed by the fact that God is referred to as a jealous God. If you look around and you hear some people talk, you will find that there's some people who claim to be atheists in part because they have come across the information in Scripture which says God is a jealous God. People who profess atheism reason in this way. They would say, well, your Bible says that God is love, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. Then they would turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 and say, look, love is not jealous, but we do have, as we look at Scripture, your God is a jealous God, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5, and the atheist throws up his or her hands and says, it doesn't make any sense. It cannot simply be true. When we hear the word jealous, there are certain words, when we hear them, they're almost like a trigger word. Certain things come to mind. For many of us, when we hear the word jealous or jealousy, certain ideas, certain negative concepts spring into the head. For example, if we are a Christian, when we hear that word jealous or jealousy, the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5 might spring to mind. Galatians 5, starting with verse 19, says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, and there it is, jealousies. Paul says that is a work of the flesh. Paul said if you're involved in these activities, you are not going to spend eternity in heaven. So how possibly can God be a jealous God and at the same time be a righteous God? Our reaction to the word jealous or jealousy may be negative. That if we do some additional study in Scripture, our perception of jealous or jealousy may change, and it should change. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, if we just looked a little more deeply in Scripture, we would find this. Paul said, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I'm persuaded that there are people who do not know that that verse is in the Bible. Here is the word jealous or jealousy, and now we find that there is godly jealousy. As we think about someone who is jealous, we may think about someone who is spiteful, someone who is petty, and someone who is envious. It appears that that is how Oprah understood this particular term in her youth, and it was very, very troubling to her. She simply did not get from that sermon, or apparently at any time in her life, the idea that jealousy can have, in Scripture, a positive meaning. The people who don't understand that will sometimes look at God as some kind of insecure tyrant. If you go back to Exodus chapter 20, where God was giving the Ten Commandments, he made it very plain that he is a jealous God. Beyond that, you find additional passages in Scripture which affirm that this is one of the characteristics, this is one of the qualities of deity. And in this particular case, we could go back to Exodus again, skipping forward to three chapters, to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14, and here we find a rather unique text. For thou shalt worship no other God for Jehovah. And then notice this, whose name is jealous. Imagine someone coming up to us tomorrow and asking what our name is. And we say, my name is jealous. Now, if we said that, the person would give us some very strange looks. We'd probably be the laughing stock of the school. But God says that this quality, this characteristic, is such an integral part of who he is. It is such a fundamental aspect of his nature that God said, even my name is jealous. If that's not enough, as you look at Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14, you find that the word is used a second time in this single verse. When the Old Testament prophets spoke, they had a lot to say. And one of the things that they said involved the jealousy of God. Let's take a look at Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 14. So the angel that talked with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, I am jealous, God said, And then he identified what the jealousy involved. He said, I'm jealous for Jerusalem. I'm jealous for Zion. And he said, I have a great jealousy. Sometimes as we think about jealousy, we would say, well, I'm not that jealous. I'm just a little jealous. But as God was talking about the jealousy that he had for his people, he said, I have great, I have significant jealousy. I suspect, because of how we hear that word used and how we use the word, this term for us is a little difficult to apply to God as we think about what it may mean in a positive sense. When people talk about God being jealous, that may make them a little uncomfortable. We just don't expect that term to be applied to God if God is indeed really good. But this is a word which is applied to God, and it's applied to God in multiple places. Back in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 39 and verse 25, God talks about his name. He says his name is holy. At the end of Ezekiel 39, 25, God said, I will be jealous for my holy name. Somehow there is good. Somehow there is godly jealousy, and God says, I am full of it. There is a lot of jealousy in this good sense in me. Now, the more passages that you look at as far as God and jealousy, the more insight you begin to get. Another passage which is helpful is in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. For Jehovah thy God is a devouring fire, a jealous God. Somehow, as you look at Deuteronomy 4 and verse 24, you find two things going together. God says, on the one hand, I am a jealous God. And on the other hand, you find that he is described as a consuming fire. A similar text with additional information is in Joshua chapter 24, verses 19 and 20. He is a jealous God. This is a paraphrase. He won't put up with your fooling around and sinning. That gives you some insight, a little understanding as far as what this jealousy involves. When we think about the jealousy of God, it is a way of saying I care. It is a way of saying I not only care, I care a lot. God used this word through his prophets to talk about the great care that he had on multiple occasions. Back in the book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 2, Jehovah is a jealous God and he avenges. God was saying through the prophet that if you mess with my people, I care about my people. I love my people. And if you're going to do your best to destroy my people, God said, I will come against you. The opposite was also true, of course, if God's people decided to do things which would be sinful, if they were not going to honor their agreement with God, then God said his jealousy was going to be aroused and there would be some consequences. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 21, God says, they have provoked me to jealousy. They have aroused, they have stirred up my jealousy. How did they do that? This was not arbitrary. This is not something that God just one day decided to say to his people, I'm jealous. He said, no, you've been involved with foolish idols and that has caused me to become jealous. A lot of people, when they hear certain things about God, they're turned off, like Oprah. When it comes to the jealousy of God, that is something that will turn some people off. Let's suppose, though, for just a second, let's put the shoe on the other foot. Let's suppose that God didn't care as much as he does. Let's say that God had the attitude, I really don't mind what you do in life. In fact, I just don't care at all. I will let you do whatever you want. What if God's attitude was, as he looked at things, he said, well, you win some, you lose some, and what the people are doing, I'm just going to walk away. God doesn't do that. God doesn't walk away because he is a jealous God. God's jealousy means that he hurts when his people are not willing to head in the right direction. God's jealousy means that he's grieved over sin. God's jealousy means that he has righteous anger. God's jealousy is a way of saying that he really, really cares about the world. Let's back up a little bit in Deuteronomy 2, Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 20. God said his jealousy would burn against that man. The Lord was not going to spare him. The anger of the Lord would be aroused, and every curse that is written in the book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. God didn't want to do that. But if people headed down the wrong direction and they were not willing to repent, they would face judgment from God. Now, sometimes people hear information and they step back and they say, this is a new thought. I've never thought about that before. Here may be a new thought for us. Human beings have the ability to make God angry. We see that from Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 20. And that anger from God is severe enough where people can be sent to an eternal hell. God's jealousy, though, says, I am always committed to doing what is right and what is best. When it comes to my people and they need to be protected, God's jealousy says, I'm going to fight for you. You're going to be in my corner. I'm going to be your God. You can't imagine the love that I have for you because I'm jealous for you. One source defined jealousy as God's passionate protection, and that is a good description for the jealousy of God. Some have, and I think this is probably about as close as a secular illustration that we can offer when it comes to the jealousy of God, some have compared it to marriage. in marriage. There is, or at least there should be, some jealousy for the marital relationship. That is, when people get married, they generally make some kind of promise along the lines of, we're going to forsake all others. And the husband, the wife, they expect those two people that are speaking those words to fulfill the words that they speak. That's the kind of relationship that God wants from his people. God says in the marriage illustration, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm forsaking all others for you. And God says, that's what I want you to do for me. I want you to be faithful all the time, regardless of the cost. When that violation, when that marriage illustration is violated, when it's strained, then God's jealousy can be aroused. Moving down a little bit more as far as Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, as we get a basic comprehension, a basic understanding of what God's jealousy is, you can begin to see this coming through in a lot of different passages or texts. Several of them are New Testament passages. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, the Lord said something that's familiar to us. He said, no man, no person can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We're familiar with that. But why did Jesus make that point? He made the point because we serve a jealous God. Those who become a child of God, they enter into that exclusive relationship with God. And God says, I do not permit you to be involved with some other deity. You don't do anything which is going to interfere with this relationship. God's jealousy is why we cannot serve any other God. There's some people, they have their list of gods. Somebody shows up and begins talking about another God, and they say, well, we'll just add your God to ours. God says, that does not work for me. God's jealousy is why members of the church cannot be partnered with churches made by men. God's jealousy means that there is a restricted relationship when it comes to him and religion. Oftentimes in the New Testament, we read about the jealousy of God, but we perhaps don't see it. Because the word that we're looking at, the word jealous or jealousy, is not specifically used there. Here's another illustration, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Jesus said through John, but I had this against thee, that you did leave your first love. This was directed to the church at Ephesus. John again didn't use the word jealous, but that's what God meant. God says, I am the only one. You're to be in an exclusive relationship with me, and you have left me for someone or something else. And that judgment that we read about in the Old Testament, that's what was going to fall in this congregation if things were not righted. Well, this was how John described it, but we have some other descriptions. Here's how James describes it. And again, it is not new for us, but we're looking at it tonight from a different perspective. Ye adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, would be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Well, that's what James says when it comes to jealousy. There's some people who want to have a foot in the church and a foot in the world. And God says, I am a jealous God. I do not permit that. If you enter into this relationship with me, it is me and you. And I'm going to do what I need to do, and you need to do what you're going to do. Moving down just a little bit more, we have some information about pleasure in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Paul talked about the fact that a time would come where there would be people who would be traitors. He said that there would be people who would be headstrong. He said they're going to be proud, they're going to be puffed up. And then he said they're going to love pleasure more than they love God. It's not wrong to love or enjoy pleasure. It is wrong, though, to love pleasure more than we love God. And that's a problem because God says, I am a jealous God. Let's go back to the marriage illustration for just a second. Let's say that there is a couple, husband and wife. They get married, they've been together for a period of years. And the husband gets to the point in the relationship where he loves his boat. Or he loves his golf clubs more than his wife. You think the wife is going to be unhappy? Would it be proper for the wife to be jealous of the husband's desire to have the boat and the golf clubs over her? The man's wife is a good wife. About the best wife that anybody could imagine. Great wife in the neighborhood, good wife in the church. But the husband has more pleasure in the boat and the golf clubs than a spouse. Now, you could easily turn that around and apply it to the wife, who is more interested in this, that, or the other thing than the husband. There's going to be jealousy. And there's going to be a basis for that jealousy because the commitment that was made is not being kept. God's jealousy is aroused when people take something, pleasure or another item, and put that ahead of him. God has created us. God has offered us salvation. He's pardoned the sins of those who are his people, and we owe a debt to God. And that's a debt that we can never repay. If we're not willing to honor that debt, then God says, I get jealous. Well, suppose that we understand that what we said thus far is wrong, and we say, all right, God, all the things that you've listed, I'm not going to allow those to interfere in my relationship with you. What if we're tempted to put family above God? Are there some people who have that temptation? Yes. Are there some people who elevate family above temptation? Yes. If those things are true, then we would expect that at some point, somewhere in Scripture, the Bible would deal with this, and that's precisely what we find in Matthew 10 and verse 37. Jesus himself said, the person that loves dad or mom more than me is not worthy of me. Why? Because I am a jealous God. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. God's jealousy means that family must be put on a lower rung than God. In marriage, sometimes, children can be put before a marriage. When that happens, spouses get neglected, maybe for a period of months, maybe for many years. There can be special periods when that needs to be done because perhaps there are some health issues, but more often than not, children are active, doing a lot of things, they require a lot of attention, so sometimes in marriages, the spouse gets put in the back seat. Children are to leave the nest at some point. The spouse, of course, is expected to remain, but all too often, by the time that happens, as far as the kids leaving the nest, the marriage has been fractured, it has been ruined to the point, and divorce is the end result. If God is not put at the top priority, as the top priority, he can take the back seat and things do not turn out well. God's jealousy is simply a way of saying, I want you to stay focused on me and our relationship. This is what he does for us. This is what we are to do for him. In previous studies, we've seen how people will often take an attribute of God and they'll make up their own definition for it. We've seen that with love. We've seen that with God's justice. And now we have that when it comes to the jealousy of God. People will take this concept of God that we're trying to explain and they'll apply their own definition to it like Oprah did, and they'll come out with some bad conclusions. A good general working for a definition for jealousy is this. God cares about relationships. When you see that word jealousy in Scripture, that's what we're talking about. God really cares about relationships. He is the ultimate example of being a friend. And he is a friend when it comes to the spiritual realm that is an exclusive friend. He doesn't allow anyone else. God's jealousy is really an illustration of his perfect love. He doesn't want us to share ourselves with other people or other things which would somehow interfere with our relationship that we are to have with him. Marriage is called a one-flesh relationship, and that's what God is asking from us in the spiritual realm. God wants that intimacy in this life. He also wants that in eternity. God's jealousy means that there is to be no competition with him and someone or something else. When we begin to look at this particular aspect of God, we get some critical insight when it comes to the church. If Jesus built the church, and that's what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, how does God feel when someone says, I want some other religious group? Well, the answer is God is jealous because he wants that distinct relationship with us. The same thing can be said about false doctrine. If God has given us the truth, if he's given us the right information, how does he feel when someone says, we want some other teaching? We want some additional information that's separate from what we find in Scripture. We can find God's jealousy from a lot of different perspectives. Perhaps a person has an entire library of books. There is one book in the library, and that is the Bible. But that book is rarely read, let alone studied. That would be one of the reasons that God's jealousy would be aroused. Because God says you have a whole library of books, you have elevated all of these things above me. In life, we see the pain. We see the great pain inflicted in the lives of people who are not wanted. That's an awful thing. And that's how God feels. And that's how he tells us how he feels, by using this word jealousy. God essentially holds out both hands and says, I'm here. I want you. Come. All are welcome. I offer the same deal to every single person. And God says, I use the word jealousy to show you my great love. For us, God's jealousy means make sure that he is our top priority. It is a difficult concept to grasp. It's what has caused people some difficulties, people like Oprah. If you want to sum it up, here is perhaps the best definition that I've ever come across. God's jealousy is really a mix. When we think about God's qualities, oftentimes we think about them as being a standalone quality. Well, we've got his love, and we've got his mercy, and we've got his grace, and we've got his justice, all those things. But when it comes to the jealousy of God, it is sort of a combination. We have, as we've seen some Old Testament passages, there's God's anger. That is an aspect of God's jealousy. Because if that exclusive relationship is violated, he is not pleased. There's also his holiness mixed in there. We certainly have his love and his mercy. When we sin, it's like we are betraying God, and that accounts for the wrath. It's almost like cheating in a marriage. God is an amazing God, and the word that we're looking at tonight emphasizes that to a great degree. He really wants the best for us. And that is why God says, I want this exclusive relationship with you. And if you're not willing to do that, I am not happy, because you have rejected what is best for you. If God is jealous for us, are we jealous for him? Are we willing to look at the world and say, God, there are a lot of things that vie for my attention. There is this which may be really attractive. There's that which might not be all that appealing. And yet, God, as I look at the world, as I see all these things that can be distractions, all of these things that I could put above you, I'm doing my best to ensure that I'm jealous in my spiritual life. That, God, I have focused on Jesus. I have focused on the path to eternal life. And I'm going to do my very best to pursue that course every single day. If you are doing that, you are headed in the right direction, and make sure that you continue that path throughout all your days. If you're someone who's looking over here and over there, you're distracted. And God is likely jealous, and that's a problem in your spiritual life. Tonight, if we can help you get back on the right road, we'd like to. If you've never gotten on the right road, we'd like to assist you in doing that by becoming a Christian, talking to you about the steps that are required. If we can aid you when it comes to the jealous God, let us know, and do that now as we stand and sing.